From Lab Occupier, this is the NGBI Lab, a podcast about startups in Canada's life sciences community. Hi, I'm your host, Jim Wilson, and the startup we're featuring today is Voxcell Bioinnovation, a company that's based in Victoria, British Columbia. Our guests are Carolina Valenti, who is CEO and Chief Scientific Officer, and Kevin Voss, Vice President of Business Development, and we hope you enjoy learning about their journey. The team at Voxcell Bioinnovation are pioneering the next generation of 3D tissue printing, and their innovative tissue models are helping cancer researchers get novel, life-saving therapies to market. Before we get to today's show, we would like to thank the Hamilton Health Sciences Foundation, the TMX Group, and Ellis Dawn for their support. This episode of the NGBI Lab was recorded in March 2024. Carolina and Kevin, I would appreciate you introducing yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm Dr. Carolina Valenti, and I'm the CEO of Voxcell Bioinnovation.
And Kevin?
Yes, I'm Dr. Kevin Voss, and I am the Vice President of Business Development at Voxcell Bioinnovation.
And you folks are both in Victoria, BC this morning?
We are, yeah. Yeah, the majority of our team is in Victoria, but we also have people spread in Vancouver, Montreal, so we have some people working remotely too.
We've been in Victoria for quite some time. Actually, Carolina and I met while we were both doing our PhDs at the University of Victoria. We had some shared lab space. And during COVID, when she integrated the company, I went and did a postdoc at the University of Calgary that was with the World Health Organization as well. And when that was done, it was the right time for us to come back together. And so I joined the team soon after that.
And who else is on your team?
So right now, Voxcell is 14 people. We have a lot of people that I met throughout my career as a PhD student, but also as an assistant teaching professor. So I'm also a professor at the University of Victoria. So we ended up hiring a lot of very good young talent that I met throughout my teaching years. So we are 14 people divided in four different departments. So we have people taking care of our hardware, that is our printer. We have people taking care of software, that is the ability to create these blood vessels in 3D generated by our software. We have people developing our bio inks that we like to call our printer's cartridge, that is what creates our tissues. And we have our tissue engineering group, that is the people that is actually creating our tissues and testing the drugs.
Wow. And I had the pleasure of visiting the UVic campus a couple of years ago when I was out hiking the West Coast Trail in Vancouver Island. If anybody has ever thought of doing that hike, it's a fabulous hike, but train for it. And I met with a few people, including Scott Phillips, who is the CEO and founder of Starfish Medical. And I was not aware of how vibrant the life sciences community is in Victoria.
BC is life sciences in BC is really, really growing considerably. I think one of the challenges that we had in Victoria, and we still have, to be quite honest, is lab space. So it's not a place where you can easily find lab space ready, like Vancouver, for example, that you can just move in. So Voxcell is located in Victoria downtown, and we rented a space. So we have a 6,000 square feet facility in downtown Victoria, but we built the lab spaces ourselves. And so we had to start from scratch because we found a lot of office space, but not lab space. So that is one of the challenges of being here. The advantage that we see is, as you said, the University of Victoria. So we have a lot of very, very good talent coming from there. The computer science department is extremely strong. The biomedical engineering department is very, very strong. Engineering in general is quite strong coming from there. And people like to live here. People want to stay in Victoria. So we have been able to attract this talent and keep them too. So there are pros and cons, but maybe Kevin, you can add a little bit more here.
Yeah, as Carolina said, I think we have a huge benefit being very close to the University of Victoria. And as you said, it's a bit of a hidden gem when it comes to life sciences itself. Like, You have some companies that are starting to evolve quite quickly. Another one would be Eupraxia Pharma, who are taking things through clinical trials. So we have the advantage currently of being one of the companies that's starting to grow life sciences in Victoria. So we have access to a lot of talent. We can sort of build out the first lab spaces. And if we do it properly and we work with the right districts in town, I think that there is the ability to have quite a thriving ecosystem here. But yeah, as far as our technology, I think for a Canadian home base, we'd probably like to stay here as long as possible before we start to expand internationally. But so far, so good.
This podcast is part of Next Great Big Ideas, Canada's Life Sciences Summit. For details on NGBI, please go to nextgreatbigideas.com. Let's get back to today's show. So you and your team are working on one of the next great big ideas in Canadian life sciences, and I'm looking forward to learning more about it. What is Voxcell Bio Innovation about, and why does the company exist?
Absolutely. So Voxcell is really trying to accelerate the drug development process. The way that we see it, there is a lot of drugs failing to get to the market at this point, and we need to do something about it. So what Voxcell is doing is creating a better platform to decide which drugs should be tested in humans and which ones shouldn't. So our goal is really to be using bioprinting technology to screen those drugs in the lab stage and to say, okay, these drugs are not going to succeed, or these drugs will succeed or have a higher likelihood to succeed. So the idea is to be a better screening platform.
So you have developed a 3D tissue platform where you can test the drug before it's an in vivo test.
That is so cool.
where did that idea come from?
It's interesting because I was working on my PhD at the University of Victoria, and I was actually using real biopsy samples. So I was actually getting human samples from the hospital, and they were quite hard to get. So they were also very hard to use. So I thought there has to be a better way to create these artificially and almost make it very accessible to people. So the way that we talk about what Voxcell is developing, it's almost as an artificial biopsy sample. And this is only possible with our technology. So the resolution of our printer is quite high, which allows us to create very high complexity. So what that means is put us closer to what a human sample should look like. So to give you an idea, we actually have artificial blood vessels, so really, really tiny blood vessels in our sample. So people will be able to inject the drugs directly into that vasculature. So getting very, very close to what happens in the human body.
I think even to add on that, within the platform itself, we talk about accelerating the drug development process, but in reality, with the high failure rate and high capital expenditure that comes into developing a therapeutic, I mean, from the idea in a drug company to something where a doctor could actually administer it to someone, we're talking about a process that still takes up to 15 years and still takes up to $2 billion at its more extremes. And what we really see is that you don't bridge the gap between what's happening in the lab and what's happening in people. And this creates a couple of huge problems. From a pharmaceutical company perspective, just in cancer alone, we're spending between $60 and $80 billion US every single year on failed clinical trials in cancer. That's an economic problem for the industry, but that's also 90% of clinical trials are failing when they begin. And this is a very human matter at the same time. So that ability to create an artificial biopsy sample that before you ever test on an animal, which is a whole nother issue on its own, and before you move into people, that ability to de-risk the clinical trial, both from an economic perspective for the pharmaceutical companies, but also on the patient side, where better than 10% of clinical trials are actually succeeding once we get there, there's a huge, huge opportunity for technologies like what we built.
Wow. And how difficult has your journey been to date? Is it what you've anticipated, or like any other entrepreneur, it's like, oh, what's today, you know.
It's interesting because Voxel was, I incorporated Voxel in August 2020. So it was middle of COVID time. Our first entire year was fully remote. And there were people working in the lab, but we were working shifts, we couldn't work together. So I was a little bit of challenging in the beginning. And I think the company has evolved considerably for the best in terms of the business model. So when we started this company, as I mentioned, we had to create Canada's first high resolution bioprinter. So our bioprinter is very, very high resolution. And that's what allows us to create these complex samples. And the idea in the beginning when we created the company was actually to sell printers, to sell hardware. And very quickly, while fundraising, I learned that that was not a viable option. So we had to evolve the company. We have to go towards the business model of selling consumables or building partnerships with pharmaceutical companies, which is what we are currently doing. So the company has evolved considerably, and so have the people that have been working with us throughout these years. And the company is going to be 4 years in August.
We hope you like what we're doing. And if you do, we will greatly appreciate your help in promoting us on social. You can use the hashtags NGBI Lab, NGBI Ideas, NGBI Summit, and NGBI. We have another favor to ask, if you don't mind. If you know a startup working on one of the next great big ideas in Canadian life sciences, please tell us about them. We'd love to have them on the podcast. You can get my contact information at the end of today's show, and you can also find it at jim-wilson.ca. Thanks so much for listening. Let's get back to today's show. What has been your biggest surprise to date?
I think one of my biggest surprise has been the dedication of the team. That has been considerable. So we have people that are here and they truly, truly believe in the mission. And I think that's what keeps me going every single day as a CEO is the fact that selling that vision, selling that mission to the company starts internally, and people here are really dedicating their lives to building this with us. So I think that has been one of our biggest surprises. Something that surprised us, but I don't know if it was as much of a surprise, but it's something that needed to happen. It's a lot of education around what we are developing, right? It's a new technology. It's a new methodology. That's how I like to say. So it's not as simply as stating we need to educate people around what we are doing. So that's something that we continue doing every single day.
I would add one more thing to that personally. I wasn't here on exactly day one, but I've been here since before we started fundraising. We have a very young team, and that's very beneficial, but there are also some growing pains even that can happen throughout that. So I would say on my end, the sort of lessons being learned is sort of the hardships of developing new technologies. I mean, at the beginning, things are going super smooth and things look really great. And it goes, oh, we're going to develop this amazing technology and we're going to be on the market in 6 months and this is all going to be great. And then the realities of starting a company and developing an innovative technology and everything that goes into transforming from an idea to an R&D company to a commercial enterprise is we're going to be hitting the market very soon here. That sort of growth of what it takes to go between each steps of the company, especially being such a young group who hadn't done it before, was a bit of a surprise on my end.
I've been going down the rabbit hole of life sciences from the commercial real estate perspective for the last decade, and it's been interesting for me to see companies faced with the dilemma of realization that they have to change their mindset from a startup mindset where they're used to doing things on demand on their time frame, to acknowledging that that's not how the real world works, and having to change from that startup entrepreneurial mindset to a business mindset. Yeah. And in many cases, I see startups bringing in mentors and helping them with that transition. Have there been any mentors that you've had along your journey?
Yeah, absolutely. I say that every year Voxel is getting better at knowing what we do not know and asking for help. So that has been the biggest change in my job, is knowing the gaps that we have and where we need support. So we have mentors all over the place. So we have mentors on the business development side. We have mentors on the commercialization aspect. We have mentors on marketing. But we also have very integral mentors on the science. So we have excellent mentors on the opticals and optics and hardware side, on the pharma side. And we have people from all different levels. What I mean is people that have done this before in a small company, people that have done this before in large companies such as GSK. And we also have people that have done this before from an academic perspective and understand the background quite well. So we have a professor from Stanford that is supporting the development for our tissue models, for example. So we have different levels of expertise in different categories.
We hope you like what we're doing, and if you do, we will greatly appreciate your help in promoting us on social. You can use the hashtags NGBILab, NGBIdeas, NGBISummit, and NGBI. We have another favor to ask, if you don't mind. If you know a startup working on one of the next great big ideas in Canadian life sciences, please tell us about them. We'd love to have them on the podcast. You can get my contact information at the end of today's show, and you can also find it at jim-wilson.ca. Thanks so much for listening. Let's get back to today's show. You mentioned earlier that your clientele, if I remember correctly, are really global, but specifically, who are you targeting as clients?
Kevin, I'll pass that to you.
Yeah. So what we really do is we almost have bracketed partnerships. And as Carolina said, the company has evolved from its origin. So beginning was always this idea that we were going to sell printers, decided that that was not going to be the best business model for us. So we switched to this idea of selling these tissue models as a consumable. But in the beginning, the idea was to sell standardized models that were sort of off the shelf for people to buy. And one thing we realized as we started going out to the life sciences conferences and talking to some of the bigger customers was that we could make a much bigger impact on the industry if we developed very specific disease states for specific partners. So rather than just have a whole bunch of tissue models sitting in an incubator for people to buy, instead sit down with someone who tells us, hey, we're developing this new drug. We're really looking into triple negative breast cancer. We're looking into this aspects of it. Can you design this specific tissue and work with us on developing our drug and identifying which ones would work better to go to the clinic? So the major partnerships are with biopharmaceutical companies. So people who are developing their own therapeutics, they come and they talk to us when they've done a lot of the development and now they have their last sort of 10 molecules they're working with before they're going to animal models into the clinic. And they come to us and say, we want to validate this drug or this therapy for one last time before we go forward. So it's really pharmaceutical companies of all size. Some of our first contracts that are coming up are with the small to medium sized companies. They tend to be a bit more nimble and willing to try innovative technologies on smaller partnerships. The large targets are obviously the large pharmaceutical companies that you can imagine, the Mercks of the world, Johnson & Johnson, GSK, et cetera. We also do work with contract research organizations. We know that the drug development process is more decentralized than it's ever been. So a CRO, a contract research organization, is essentially a third party for pharmaceutical companies to pay to have some of the development work done outside of house. Some of the companies in the industry that may come to mind for this are companies like Charles River Laboratories or LabCorp, groups like that. So we work with them to, they're always looking for innovative technologies that give them a leg up in their product offering to pharmaceutical companies. So we work with them as well. And then finally, there's always the sort of how far can we push our R&D? So we work with research centers, we work with academic groups on sort of, can we develop a new type of tissue model? Can we integrate a new type of assay? We are starting in cancer right now, but we have goals to be in neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's in the next couple of years. So building partnerships with academic groups who are really focused on developing treatments for that, so that we can see how far can we push our own technology to build partnerships in that space.
Huh. So you're a team of 14. You've done a couple of raises. You've got another one in the pipe, and you're 4 years on your path.
Yeah.
Where are you going to be in a year?
Well, Voxel, this 2024 year is a very special year for us because it's the shift from R&D to commercialization. So that's where we prove that we can do this, and we can remove, as you said, Jim, go from that business mindset, right? No longer that mindset of just the science and learning the science, but doing that transition. So that's 2024. And we believe the next year we are going to be developing tissues directly with pharmaceutical companies and really validating drugs. So that's the goal for 2025. And hopefully our new facility too. So that's what the raise is coming from. We need a bigger space. We are running out of space. So yeah.
Okay. Well, I look forward to learning more about and seeing the announcements. Is there any advice you would give to founders or academic researchers who are thinking about going down a similar path?
I think what I learned, and like my background is academic too, so what I learned when I started this company was we were really dedicated to the R&D, but as you said quite wisely, Jim, we need to have that business mindset. So the business mindset is important. So if people don't have it, surrounding themselves by people who do, I think that is something that is valuable here, because it gets to a point where the science is like a rabbit hole. You can keep digging, you can keep learning more, but it needs to stop. And it needs to be good enough to be commercialized. So I think shifting that mindset with the team was something that is very, very important. And attracting people and talent from industry, people that already come with that mindset to know that when the science is good enough, to transition to commercialization. So that was something that was quite valuable for us. And in the beginning, we did that with mentorship. So a lot of mentors that have done this before guiding us throughout that direction.
Wow. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today. And I'm excited for what you have in the pipe. Again, I'm so impressed with what you have done to date and what you've got planned. And I'm excited for what the year holds for you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Jim, for having us.
Thank you.
That was Carolina Valenti and Kevin Voss of Voxel Bioinnovation. You can learn more about the work they're doing at voxcellbio.com. That's V as in Victor, OXCELLBIO.com. And you can follow them on social at VoxCellBio. You can also follow this podcast on social at NGBI Lab and our sister podcast at NGBI Ideas. If you'd like to learn more about the team working behind the scenes, you can follow us at Lab Occupier. We would appreciate hearing from you, and email is best. My address is jwilson@leonard, that's LENNARD.com. Thanks so much for listening. See you next week.